safe. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Yes, sir. Every time I turn around, he's blessing me. Just a little while ago, I couldn't even turn around.
Oh, now you're
But I got almost shouted now. Yeah, Lord. God is good. And his mercy endures forever. To our, yes, Lord, our minister of music, Reverend Coleman, to all of our officers and members and to visitors, we thank God for your presence. This morning, with your prayers, I want to call your attention to the first book of the Bible, which is Genesis, chapter number 32. The 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis, and we will begin reading at verse number 22, and we'll read a few verses. Genesis chapter 32, and beginning at verse 22. Everybody got it, say amen. Anybody need a little more time? Come to Sunday school. Amen. And it read, and he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. Yeah. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And so he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Drop down to verse 31. And just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he had a limp on his hip. The grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. This morning, with your prayers, I just want to talk about wrestling with God. Wrestling with God. Let me begin by saying that this story represents an, thank you, Ursha, an intense spiritual struggle. An event that occurred during the night. And here we see Jacob struggling with his life and purpose as he waded along by the Jabbok River. Here we find Jacob again confused, afraid, and filled with guilt. He needed a fresh assurance of God's presence. But, you know, even if you haven't paid much attention to God before, a severe crisis has a way of turning you to him. Why? Because you realize that unless the Lord intervened, you won't be able to make it. And so when trouble or crisis come into our lives, many times we cry out, "Oh Lord, please help me." It may be a health problem, and unless God intervenes, there is no hope. Perhaps it's a serious marital or family problem, a financial problem, or a desperate need at work. It may be a personal problem such as loneliness, guilt, anger, bitterness, or anxiety. Or maybe some life-dominating sin and the like, but whatever the problem, you know that you need the Lord. And so in Genesis chapter 32 here, where we draw our text, Jacob is faced with that kind of crisis, for he was returning to Canaan in obedience to God, but that meant he would have to face his brother Esau, whom he had cheated 20 years before of his birthright. And he didn't know how Esau would receive him. And so when Jacob's messengers came back and told him that Esau was coming to meet him with 400 men, Jacob froze with fear. And so as Jacob prayed, according to verse 11, he says, Oh God, deliver me from my brother Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother of my children. But what Jacob didn't know, and what we often don't realize in situations like that, how will God go about helping us? Now, we may have in mind that God is going to somehow remove our problem, make our enemy go away. But God doesn't do it that way. So Jacob took his wives, his servants, his company over across the Jabbok River to the south side, and then he went along to the north side. Because Jacob's plan had been that if Esau attacked one camp, then he being along in the other camp, he would be able to escape. But that wasn't God's plan. Because the way God helps is by breaking up of our inherent self-dependence so that we will learn to totally depend on him. But however, the problem many times is that like Jacob, we often want to use God and his blessings to further our own ends. Because the Bible reveals that all of Jacob's life he had been using God and people to get what he wanted for himself. But now God brings Jacob to see that you don't use God, but you submit to him. Because when we submit to God, he will bless us. And so in order to break Jacob, he has to have a wrestling match with him. And so this morning, I want you to come go with me because we have ringside seat to witness the wrestling match of all time. Because this is no doubt the most unusual wrestling match in history. Now, Brother Buckley, the event takes place in an open-air arena beside the Jabbok River. And in one corner stands Jacob, affectionately known as Big Jake, the schemer. And in the other corner, of all people, God himself. Oh, my brothers and sisters, what a billing. Jacob versus God. Big Jake versus Jehovah. And so the text describes the blow-by-blow account of Jacob's wrestling match with the omnipotent God. But how foolish somebody may be thinking of, because who in the world would want to take on God one-on-one in a wrestling match? But if the truth be told, all of us at one point in time have taken on God. We have stepped into the ring with him and wrestled with him about life. Perhaps someone right now as we speak may be struggling with God about some situation, some problem, some difficulty, or some injustice that he or she has incurred. And so that's why it would be good for us to sit down in our ringside seats and learn a lesson from Jacob's wrestling match with God. But now, believe it or not, the road that led to this encounter with God began even before the day Jacob was born. For the Bible tells us in Genesis 25:19-26 that Jacob's mother Rebekah was disturbed about the wrestling match that was going on in her stomach between the twins she was carrying, Jacob and Esau. Because there in the womb, these two brothers who were destined to become two nations were duking it out for dominance. And later when they came forth from the room, Jacob grabbed Esau's heel as if to pull him back in an effort to be the firstborn, which was a position of prominence in a Hebrew family. And so his family, observing this unusual trait in this baby, they named him Jacob. Because in ancient Hebrew culture, a person's name carried with it the very essence and identity of the person. In other words, no Hebrew parent chose a name for their baby just because it sounds good, just because it was popular, but only because the name fit the child. For the name Jacob means surplanter, schemer, cheater, one who grabs from behind. And so the remainder of Jacob's life up until this main event revealed that Jacob was properly named. He wrestled with his brother Esau to get his birthright. And then he and his mother formed a tag team as they wrestled with his father to obtain the blessing of the firstborn. He wrestled with his uncle Laban, who gave him a run for his money over flock, herds, his daughter, and now he's wrestling with God. Because everything that had happened, everything that was happening in his life had been leading to this one critical, crucial encounter. In other words, by name and by nature, Jacob has for a long time walked the road of his own choosing, the road of self-will, selfish goals, which was the road of his own strength and resources. But now that road leads past the Jabbok River, a name which means wrestling. But what was it that troubled Jacob? What is it that has brought him to this spiritual crisis in his life as he sat there alone on the river's gorge? What are the reasons for his wrestling? Well, obviously, one reason is that is his name and nature. And Jacob is growing weary of wrestling and with his struggles with life. Sure, he had previous encounters with God, but still, despite God's blessings upon his life, Jacob was still insistent on singing the song, "I Did It My Way." But now all he has to show for it in his insistence of doing it his way and not God's way, a bunch of family problems. When he left home, his father was no doubt disappointed in him. His brother swore to kill him. Then he wasn't that popular with his uncle Laban and his in-laws. And to top it off, his two wives were fighting continually among themselves. Bottom line, his family was a mess. And so now the main event. It could be that Jacob began to pray that night, and perhaps in agony of his soul, he cried out to God. Perhaps it was the first time in his life to earnestly wrestle in prayer. It was as though he sensed that God was really present with him, and God's presence and purpose became more and more real to Jacob until suddenly he was real. He uplifted his arms and actually began to cling to God himself, because there he was, flesh to flesh, bone to bone, in human form. In other words, Jacob found himself wrestling with an angel, an epiphany of the incarnate Christ. And all of a sudden, Jacob, is in his desperation, he realized the precious opportunity before him, and he knew that if he let him go, then God would leave with his needs met and his prayers unanswered. And so Jacob wrestled with God back and forth, and I imagine he used some hammer locks and headlocks and full Nelsons and maybe some scissors, and the struggle just went on and on all night long. Here we see God in his grace and mercy was allowing Jacob to wrestle, yes, Lord, to work out his fleshly nature and anxiety. For in this struggle, in his wrestle, his faith and understanding is growing. But the turning point came when God shut Jacob in the hollow of his thigh, dislocating the ball joint in his thigh. And suddenly he was weakened and immobilized. And Jacob yelled out in pain, and he stopped wrestling, and then he started clinging. Now, there's a difference between wrestling and clinging, because to wrestle is to contend, is to fight for dominance. But now to cling is to hold on, is to grasp in desperation. And so here in verse 26, the pre-incarnate Christ knew that the morning light was breaking. So he told Jacob, he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But Jacob said, "I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me." Here we see that Jacob was persistent in his prayer, persistent in his plea, and serious in his request to God, even though his body was racked with pain. Because now Jacob was holding on in faith and not wrestling in fear. My brothers and sisters, you know the Lord desires our prayers to be fervent and persistent. And that's why Jesus said in Luke 11:9-10, he said, ask and it shall be given. He said, seek and you shall find. He said, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. He said, for everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And him who knocks, it shall be opened. But now the key here is you got to keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking until you receive the answer to your prayer. And now this is not wrestling with God in fear, but it's holding on in faith until your breakthrough comes. And so in the text, God blesses Jacob, not because he had to or was forced to, but because Jacob was ready to receive the blessing. But before God can bless us, I need to tell us that he has to break us of self-dependence as we cling to him in brokenness. Meaning brokenness is the path to blessing. Because before we can use a person, God can use a person greatly, he has to first break them. Why? Because we all have a built-in propensity to trust in ourselves. And thus God must break us of our self-dependence. Because all of Jacob's life he had thought that Esau and Laban was his adversary. And so he had struggled and schemed to get the blessings he thought those men were taking from him. Blessing the Sister Crowell that God had promised to give to him anyway. But ever at some point in his struggle, Jacob discovered to his horror that actually he was his own adversary. But God had to wrestle him into submission in order to reveal it to him. But in the same way like Jacob, many times we too think that the enemy, yes, Lord, the problem is out there. That the problem is my wife. The problem is my husband. My parent, my boss, and my poor circumstance. But in reality, the enemy and the problem isn't primarily out there. But the problem is in you. The problem is in me. My flesh, your flesh, my sinfulness, your sinfulness, and selfish nature that dominates your life and my life. And so God has to reveal to you and me the power of the flesh before we can be delivered from it. Because obviously God could have crippled Jacob in the first minute of the contest. So you wonder why didn't he do it sooner? Why did God allow it to last all night long? My brothers and sisters, God wanted to show Jacob the power of self-will. And so the Lord kept waiting to see if Jacob would surrender. But he kept on fighting. And so it was only until God crippled him did Jacob give in. And so to make sure that Jacob had learned his lesson, the Lord then asked him a question as he clings to the Lord. In verse 27, he asked Jacob, well, what is your name? Now God knew the answer, but he wanted Jacob to confess not just his name, but also his character. So he said, my name is Jacob, supplanter, conniver, and schemer. My brothers and sisters, it's only after Jacob acknowledged who he was that the Lord was able to bless him. Meaning part of the process of knowing God involves knowing ourselves. Because until God reveals the power of our sinful nature to us, we tend to think that we are not so bad. You know, I'm not really a terrible sinner. In fact, I'm a pretty good person. But Christ didn't come to die for good people, but he came to die for sinners. And so until we come to realize, like Paul did in Romans 7 and 18, that nothing good dwells in our flesh, we will continue to depend on ourselves, our goodness, more than we do on the Lord. And so God's breaking process reveals to us the power of the flesh. But even more, God's breaking process reveals to us the power of God. Because before God touched Jacob and crippled him, he probably thought that the fight was pretty evenly matched. But he soon realized that God was only playing with him like a lion would play with a mouse. And then suddenly he realizes God's power. And in the same way, until God breaks us, we have a tendency to think that we are in the control of all the affairs of our lives. We are directing things as we think of best. But then the lion roars, and in one easy swipe, he cripples us, and we learn the awesome power of God. We learn that obedience is not an option, but it's the only reasonable course of action. My brothers and sisters, I need to tell us that the frailty of our bodies should make us aware of our weakness as well as our need to submit to God. Because every time we are sick, every time we get injured, and when we feel the aches and pains of older age, we should acknowledge the fact that we are not God. Notice I say older age, because you don't have to get real old to be injured. You don't have to get old, yes, Lord, to feel pain. Are you here with me? And so we are weak and frail. Only God is God. And we must depend, yes, totally on him and live in submission to him. And so God blesses us when we cling to him in brokenness. But what we won't cling to the Lord until we are broken. Because often our greatest victories come out of the ashes of our greatest defeats. And so as soon as Jacob was crippled, he was able to hang on to the Lord for dear life. He said, I won't let you go until you bless me. And Jacob blessing after being crippled, it took the form of a new name. Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel. He who strives with God. And so Jacob, who is now Israel, he limped for the rest of his life. And I believe everywhere Jacob went, folk would ask him, Jacob, why are you limping? Yes, he was limping, but he won when he was beaten. Yes, God crippled Jacob and broke him, but he was able to triumph when he yielded unto God. And in the same way, when we stop wrestling and fighting and surrender to the Lord by confessing our sins, he will forgive us and bless us. And if you're not saved, by faith receive him as Savior and Lord of your life. He will save your soul. And like Jacob, he'll give you a new nature as well as a new name. Your name will be changed from sinner to saint. Your nature will be changed from prideful to humility. And like Jacob, I need to tell us that we all have a limp. Because every time Jacob limped, it was a constant reminder that God had won at last. Let Let me ask you this morning, does every limp in your life remind you of your weakness? Does it make you conscious of the evil that dwells within? And so in closing, God removed all of Jacob's false securities that night and made him depend on God alone. The God of Jacob became his refuge. And so now he relied on God's power rather than his own conniving ways. Because when Jacob was limping to face Esau, he wasn't able to run now because he was crippled. But in his weakness, he was now more powerful in God's strength than he would have been in his own strength. For the Lord told Paul one day, after praying three times for deliverance from the affliction, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so, yes, Jacob is walking with a limp, but he's walking in faith instead of fear. For the God of Jacob has now become his refuge. And let me say to us this morning that the same is true when coming to Christ for salvation or to be saved. Because many people don't see their need to trust in the Lord as their Savior. And so they hang on to their own beliefs and their goodness. They allow their pride to blind them to their great need before God. But like Jacob, one day I came to the Lord just as I was. I was walking straight in pride. I was walking in self-dependence. I was walking in selfishness and in my own strength. But when he broke me, when I stopped wrestling and I stopped fighting in fear and I surrendered in faith, he gave me a new name and a new nature and left me limping, but I'm saved. I have a limp, but I got the victory because God, he's my refuge, because I serve a risen Savior who promised never to leave me nor forsake me. He promised to supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Because when God, when he cripples us, we just see how weak we really are. We begin to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. We'll begin to acknowledge him in all our ways, and he will direct our path. Ain't God all right? So have you been to your Jabbok River? Have you wrestled with God until he made you confess your real character and nature to him? Has he humbled you? Has he given you a spiritual limp to remind you that without him, you can do nothing? Because God can't bless us or use us until he has broken us. He's got to put a scar on our selfish flesh to remind us of what our lives would be without his abiding presence. So as I try to...
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Have you ever been in a situation and you were really going through? Your back was against the wall and you didn't know what to do. It seemed like everybody had their opinion. Oh, oh, oh. about where God wanted you to be. So I cried out to the Lord. I need you to speak to me. Watching everybody else be blessed, yeah. And they're running on with their vision, but it seems like you're in the same old place.